Halashing for Halas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this cold Tuesday morning. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and you're listening to the Essen Fressen show on High FM. So winter has finally set in, and colds and flu are sure to follow. Now more than ever, we need to be vigilant with our hygiene, social distancing, and the wearing of our hated masks. You can breathe in those masks, I promise. We all do it every day when we need to. Recently, I've done shows on different kinds of soup, and I've done the shows on how to improve your immunity and what to eat to build immunity. So with that in mind, I started a culinary journey of my own. And what I did is I've decided to explore the world. I want to learn new skills and new flavors. I want to introduce new flavors into my family's life. My kids have already said that they often find that they've had things that nobody else has, not in their age group, and often adults as well, just because I like to experiment and I like to try new things. So because I'm looking at food that's going to boost my immunity, one of the things I needed to look at is countries where food is going to have lots of garlic, where it will have lots of flavor and immune boosting ingredients to it. So naturally, I had to start in Asia. And whether you're going Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Malaysian, or anywhere else in the area, you will know that those foods are they're delicious, they're full of flavor and full of spice, and they're hearty. Garlic, cinnamon, turmeric, chili, ginger, those are flavors that are found in these foods, and they're all foods that do boost your immunity, and they keep you warm in winter. So the other part of my inspiration came from the fact that I am watching my favorite Australian cooking show, the new season, and quite a lot of the contestants in the show happen to be Asian, and so the Asian influence of the cooking is very strong at the moment in the show, and it's inspiring me to try new things, not always to the best eating abilities. Some of these recipes have been quite a challenge. The other one I've been watching is a lady who won the British Best Baker in 2015. She is a home cook. Her name is Nadia Hussein, and her cooking is just up my alley. Most of her recipes are quick, they're easy, and like she says, she cheats a lot. By that I mean she uses things like bottled sauces and instant puddings and all that kind of thing. And to me, that's not cheating. That's just taking time to spend with your family rather than in the kitchen, which works great, especially if you hate cooking. So that's where my inspiration has come from for the last couple of weeks. And one of my favorite places to find recipes, especially unusual ones, is on the Good Food website. You can pretty much find anything. And everything that I talk about today comes from there. I found these recipes all there. I didn't have to look far or anything like that. They were all on there. So obviously I had to make it kosher, I did have to do some substitution, but that's fine. So with all this, I've decided to set myself some challenges. The first one is sticking to my meal plan template. I have a set meal plan template of meat-free Monday. We've changed it to mince on Tuesday. Wednesdays are vegetarian, so I try to sneak in a bit of fish, even though my family don't like fish. And then Thursday and Friday, I alternate between chicken and meat, you know, just to get some meat into it. I have a very big meat-eating family, so if I had to do away with meat totally, I might land up being murdered. As it is, they're not happy with meat-free Mondays. You know, if I make a new recipe and I say it's missing something, the smart answer at the back is, Yes, meat. So we haven't got away with that. The other challenge I decided to do is from a group from overseas. Now, I have slightly adjusted it because the budget she set is obviously not kosher food, and they have a lot of coupons in America, which we don't have here, and we can't get quite the same amount of specials. So I adjusted it, and I've put it on my Facebook group, and the challenge is 200 Rand per person per week. Now, this is a very tough challenge. It's not going to be easy, especially if you keep kosher. And for me, it does make it a big spend because there are 8 of us that I am feeding. So it does, you know, take the challenge a little harder. And obviously, we're not going to be eating any meat or fish until Shabbos unless I already have it in my freezer, because I've already spent that money, so I'm not counting it towards what I've spent this week, you know, to that 200 Rand spend. One of the things that I have learned recently with doing this trip around the world to China and Japan and all those places is the fact that we can't get those ingredients often kosher. And having to learn to substitute things like oyster sauce or fish sauce. You know, I can get fish sauce. There is a lovely little shop that does fish sauce. That you can buy it at. The problem is then I can't stick it in a meat meal. So I've had to learn to substitute, and the easiest substitute I came up with because of the salt content would be Worcester sauce. Then soy sauce. I ran out of soy sauce. And I have a natural aversion to going to the shops at the best of times. And right now I am avoiding the shops at all costs unless I absolutely have to. I have not been to the shops. I just, it's not my thing. I would rather get my online. I'll stick to that as much as possible. You know, for a fee of 35 Rand, it's worth every penny, because what it cost me in my petrol and then forgetting my plastic bags and all the impulse buys because I'm standing there and I'm talking, and this is much better. And so now I've learned how to make a soy sauce substitute. It did take a long time because there were just such a lot of ingredients. And then I discovered I didn't have the one ingredient and I had to make a substitute for that ingredient. And it did take a while, but thankfully it made quite a big bottle. And I now have a bottle of soy sauce in my fridge that should last until the end of the month when I will go buy a real one. But the truth is that you can't really taste all that much difference once I'm cooking. It has come, you know, in very good hand. And it also made me realize how much I have in my cupboards. Some of the weirder ingredients like treacle. Not sure why I have treacle in my cupboard, but there it was. You know, I've got 3 different kinds of brown sugar. Also not sure why. I know the light brown sugar because I use that quite a lot, but this one was a new one. And I know how to make food stretch. That is, you know, a skill. So looking into foods that are going to keep everybody full during the winter and on a budget, one of my go-to has always been beans, lentils, any kind of pulses. They are just, they're cheap. They're versatile, and you can make anything with them. One of the family favorites is black bean burgers. And the first time I made them, nobody knew they were any different. I have a recipe for truffles made out of canned beans. And then I do have a recipe, I haven't tried it yet, to make brownies from a black bean flour. So I've got the black beans sitting in the cupboard. I haven't turned them into flour yet. That is coming. I just need the inspiration to feel like baking, which is not my favorite thing. So let's start with the first meal that I made. And we'll do that after the break. So you're listening to Adrian Bugatti, and this is the Essen Freshen Show on Chai FM.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
And welcome back. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti on High FM. This is the SN Fresen show, and I'm talking about my journey through Asia, starting off in China. I honestly, Chinese food and Japanese food, Korean, Taiwanese food, these are foods I've grown up with, flavors I've grown up with. My father did a lot of travel into the Far East. So that's where I decided to start, you know, my journey. But it just so happened that the first meal I made came from India. It is a Punjabi dish, and it was amazing. So I'm going to ask for you to excuse me if every few minutes I start to cough. For some reason, I have had a cough since before lockdown, before COVID even started, and it just does not go away. So I started Meatless Monday, like I said, with my Punjabi dish, and that was a dal makhani. So a dal makhani is, to describe it, it's lentils made almost into a stew. It's like a thick soup, but it's a meal on its own. It is absolutely filling. It was so rich, and I've made it milk and I've made it parv. Obviously I preferred the milk one. And the good thing with it is with the lentils are cost effective and cheap. If you buy the cheaper version, you will obviously have to soak your lentils for overnight. To get them, you know, nice and usable. But otherwise you can always buy, the Woolworths lentils, which you don't have to soak. It's still a recipe that takes a long time, and you can find it on my website. It's, dal, which is D-A-H-L. And this recipe is made with lentils, butter and cream. So it is not only rich in flavor, it is rich in cost. But on the other hand, the lentils are very inexpensive. So it offsets the cost of how much butter and cream you've used. So I did use margarine and oily whip. It definitely not as good, but it wasn't bad, you know, as long as you use the right quantity of spices and the correct spices. It was amazing. It was rich. It was filling, and everybody loved it. And one of the things is I did it in my slow cooker the one time and on the stove the other. Obviously both are going to take forever. The slow cooker, you know, I just put it in and left it, didn't think about it. And I must admit I didn't soak my lentils overnight because I was doing it in a slow cooker. On the stove, I had soaked my lentils, and then it still takes about 2 hours to cook. So you do need the time to do it. But you don't need all that much patience for it, because it's actually quite a, you know, sort of put it on the stove and mostly leave it just every now and again to go check and stir so it doesn't stick to the bottom of your pan. So that was an amazing thing. The next one was Tuesday, which is a mince day. And what I did for that was I did a pork. I found a recipe for pork balls, in hoisin sauce. Obviously needed a bit of adjustment. And I turned them into beef meatballs, and I cooked them in a peanut butter sauce. That is my homemade hoisin sauce version. The hoisin sauce recipe is also available on my website. But the recipe for the meatballs, well, for the pork balls, let's say, are on the Good Food website. It was delicious. Even the people in my house who don't really like mince quite enjoyed it and said they would eat it again. So there's always a plus, because mince is once a week, whether you like it or not. And often it's a bit of a problem to, you know, to get them to eat mince. The next one is Wednesday night supper. Now, fish is normally on a Wednesday, or dairy, so macaroni and cheese or whatever. But I decided I'm sticking to my Asian menu, to my Far East menu, and to China. So I found a recipe that blended two cuisines. the recipe called for steamed pork wontons. So what I did was I made the pasta. I made homemade pasta, which were really, really good. I've done them a few times, but they were a little bit too thick for this. The other thing is then I used tuna instead of pork for the recipe, and that was where it didn't work quite so well. It just, the flavors just didn't mesh as well as they should have. And that was a different. Right. So like I said, it's not something I'll make again. Just, you know, the tuna just didn't translate well. I think it's, you know, I thought it would work well because it's dry, which, and there's not a lot of fat on it, which is the same with pork, but maybe if it was fresh tuna rather than canned tuna, who knows? But I will give wontons another try. I just need to find a different kind of recipe, you know, that asks for vegetarian. But I was lazy and this was the first one that came up. Thursday, we have usually a choice between chicken and meat. So what happens is if I make chicken on a Thursday, then I do meat on a Friday. And if I have meat on a Friday, on a Thursday, I do chicken on the Friday. So Thursday night, I decided to make a hot and sour soup. Now, I love that soup. I can remember my mother making it. I can remember having it in restaurants. It's warm. You get this flavor of, you know, this spicy heat and then just that little bit of sour on your tongue, which is great. So what I did was I took some chicken. I cooked it in the soup, and then I took it out and I took it off the bone. So I had chicken wings, lots and lots of chicken wings. And, you know, nobody in my home really likes chicken wings. There's not enough meat on it and they are all big meat eaters. So I took the chicken off the chicken wings once it was cooked and I put it back in the soup. And then just before I served the soup, about 2 minutes before I broke, about 10 minutes before, I took some spaghetti and I broke it up into small pieces. And I put that in. And I really thought I had made enough soup that I could freeze some to use for later. I have to remember something very important in my house. I need to take it out and freeze it before anyone sees it. Otherwise, it's not going to help. Because I had no leftovers from the soup. It was wonderful. And I was worried that nobody would be full because, I mean, it was just soup. But it was with cabbage and it's filled with vegetables and it was really, really nice. And I got to use my homemade soy sauce once again. So it was delicious. Then on Friday night, I made a slow-cooked beef and eggplant stew. It was also, once again, absolutely fabulous and easy to make.
Chalashim for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
I did obviously adjust the recipe a bit because it didn't have very good reviews. It was a 3-star instead of 5-star. And then obviously it also used fish sauce, which I couldn't get. So what it is, I'll just read this out, but you can find it on the Good Food the Good Food website. So 5-star anise. I had 3, so that's what I used. A cinnamon stick, 3 tablespoons of sunflower, 2 kilos of shin, which is, you know, if you can. But, you know, if you're slow cooking, then any meat would work because the slow cooker would soften even the cheapest cuts. 1 liter of chicken stock, 3 red chilies split in 2. Right. Now, with chilies, you need to know, if you like it really spicy, you need to keep the seeds in. If you don't like it spicy, too spicy, you take the seeds out. And obviously, if you don't want it too hot, don't use fresh chilies. Rather use dried chilies, the chili flakes, or use less chilies. We like it fairly spicy, so I only use two chilies and no seeds. I didn't want to burn everybody's roof or mouth off, you know, with that. It's very nice. At one stage, my children, especially my younger ones, did not like anything spicy. But now, you know, we definitely have moved on with our flavor profiles. And then it called for galangal. Now, galangal is something I'd never heard of until recently watching my Australian food show. It kind of looks, from what I could see on the thing, as a mixture between a ginger root and a turmeric root. They look like a mixture, but it does say in the recipe, if you can't find galangal, you can use ginger. And you actually slice the ginger into small pieces. Normally you shred it or grate it, but this one you slice it. And a little tip when you want to peel your ginger, don't use a peeler. Take a spoon and scrape the skin off. It comes off beautifully. You get, and it bruises the ginger just enough to release that beautiful flavor. And then 2 tablespoons of, well, they asked for fish sauce. I used Worcester sauce, 200 ml of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of demerara sugar. I had light brown sugar, which I used, and it worked just fine. And I'm sure you can use white sugar if you don't. And believe it or not, I did have kaffir lime leaves. I bought them a while ago, dried from Woolworths in a bottle. So I was able to use the kaffir leaves that they've asked for, the 6 lime leaves. I think you could probably use normal lime if you have it. I wouldn't use as bay leaves as such because they have a very different flavor. But if you do, then I would only use 1 or 2 bays. And then 3 eggplants cut into wedges. Now, my family do not like eggplant. They really don't. But when I stick it in something like a ratatouille, they'll eat it with pleasure. And they did with this as well. And then you do rice and coriander to serve. So what I sometimes do with my rice is just to give it more flavor. If I'm, because the basmati and the jasmine rice are slightly more expensive, I will add some spices into the rice while I'm cooking instead of just boiling it in plain water. So I added a pinch of the five spice mixture. I added that into my rice to cook, and it was outstanding. It does take a long time to cook. It takes about 3.5 to 4 hours to cook. So it does need a bit of effort, especially in prepping. So how do we do it? They used, I must admit, and this is the step I left out. They did it first in a casserole dish, and they did it on the stove, and they slow cooked it on the stove. I did not. I stuck it straight into my slow cooker. Thank you, Ma, for letting me keep your slow cooker. It means I have two. So what they want is they want you to heat your oven quite low, by the way, to about 150 degrees. So it's not a lot. And then you heat a large oven-proof dish, and you toast your star anise and your cinnamon until fragrant. Now, what I did was I did do that. I heated it up in my slow cooker while I was prepping everything else. So I turned on the slow cooker on high, and I put my star anise and my cinnamon into the slow cooker. It gets hot enough that it starts to release the fragrance a little bit. And then you take it out. Now, what you can do with this step, which I didn't because I just didn't have time, is what they want is they want you to heat it in the casserole dish, take out the spice, then add oil and brown your beef in batches. Now, the reason you do it in batches is if you stick too much meat into your frying pan or into your pot, what it does is it lowers the temperature and you land up almost boiling your meat instead of browning it. Take the meat out, set it aside, and then you add everything except your eggplant into your casserole dish. You stir it well and you bring it to boil, so your stock and everything. Then you add your spices back in and your meat. And you skim off any fat that comes up. So if you're using like shin or a fatty cut of meat, you are going to get a lot of fat coming out. And you do need to skim that off. You cover your casserole and you cook it in the oven for 2 hours. So what I did was instead, I browned it in the slow cooker. But then I also took it and I heated up a frying pan. And I took those spices that I'd already browned in my dish. And I put them into the frying pan for a few more minutes. I then put oil and the beef in small batches. And because I was using less star anise than they asked, I actually kept one piece of star anise in while I was browning the meat. And it just gives it that extra flavor. And then I transferred everything into my slow cooker. And I put the lid on and I left it. Now, if you're going to use the slow cooker, don't use a full liter of chicken stock. I used 750 mils. You don't need a lot. If you're going to do, which I have sometimes done, is if you're going to do your rice in the same pot as your meat, which is often delicious, then use the extra water because the rice is obviously going to absorb that. And it cooked in about 4.5 hours on low. Because the pieces weren't very big and they'd already been browned, they were perfect. What we did was I cooked this for about 3.5 hours. And then in the last half hour, I took off the lid. I put in my eggplant and I put the lid back on and I let it finish cooking until I was ready. And then just have some rice. Pour it over. It gives a beautiful gravy. Not a very thick gravy, but it does give a nice sauce over it. And it was amazing. I liked it, even though my family have all said it was nice. They didn't say it was fantastic. And I think part of it was that it took so long to cook. And they'd been smelling this amazing, absolutely amazing smells coming throughout the house. The whole day. You know, Shabbos in general, your house does, if you've made your own challahs, and then your house does smell a little extra special. But with those flavors of the chili and the lime and all of that coming out, it was delicious. So that was my Friday night supper. And then Shabbos, I just did a plain vegetarian challah. So butternut, sweet potatoes, chickpeas, and you buy that packet soup mix. Fantastic in the bottom. I put in the Chinese five spice. I put in my water, a dash of soy sauce and some tomato sauce. And that was lunch. And it was absolutely wonderful. So that, you know, that was last week's visit into China. And it was yummy and delicious. I might actually stick around China for a little longer before moving into Japan. We'll have a look at that now. I'm going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll carry on talking about my adventures into food. So thank you. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti. This is Chai FM, the Essen Freshen Show.
Chalashin for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Freshen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hi, and welcome back. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti. This is the Essen Freshen Show on Chai FM. I've been talking about my journey into Asian foods, and I've started, like I said, in China. I love Chinese food. I grew up on that, eating the Chinese and the Taiwanese food because my father did so much business with the Far East. So I could, you know, I love it. My family, when we sit down to a Chinese meal or something, I like to eat it with my chopsticks, and everybody else has their knife and fork. Or they start off with chopsticks and then they say it's taking too long to eat, and knife and fork and spoon come out. So that's the way it works. Now, before I move myself on to another country, which will happen this week, because we've got a birthday, and in my house, whenever there's a birthday, you get your favorite meal for that night. So this week I have to make sushi, and sushi is not Chinese. It's actually Japanese. So I will be doing that. Now, the challenge I had this week of 200 Rand budget obviously is going to be a little bit difficult when you're doing sushi. Remember, it's 200 Rand per person for the whole week. So you've got to divide that 200 Rand into 7 and then work it out what it's going to cost you each day. So it's about 25 Rand about per person per day for food. Now, I'm only going to do it for meat, for dinners. I'm not doing the whole day. It just gets a little difficult. But remember, when you're taking into account that budget, you've got to take into account that you already have stuff at home, which means you're not spending. So that's where your challenge come in. What have you got at home that you can put towards the meal so that it will fill that budget without being sparse and leaving everybody hungry for more? So this is why sushi is not really that much of a problem. I have nori sheets in the cupboard. I have sushi rice in my cupboard. And we've got fresh fruit and vegetables, so that's that. The only cost that's really going to come in, and that's, I found them on special, were the salmon ribbons. So, you know, we're not going to get huge pieces of salmon in the sushi, and only a few people eat the salmon. I've got one person who will only eat cucumber sushi, another one who will only eat the carrots and cucumbers, and if you've got avo, she doesn't eat the fish at all. And so that's how we're going to do our sushi. Thank you to Alan Bender for having taught me how to make sushi. In fact, that's how we learned. We learned for this child's birthday. That was the party. The party was a sushi making party. And obviously Alan Bender came and showed us how to do that. And we've been making sushi ever since. Obviously, if I can buy, I would prefer to, but I've seen the price of decent sushi, and well, yes, that's not going to happen at the moment. But like I said, this week I'm going to stick to Japan, because a lot, and China, the Far East, places where I get to do stir fries. The reason I say for stir fries are cheap, quick. You can get your vegetables to last a lot longer. You can make your rice, which is always filling, or noodles, also filling. And really, you don't have to get the fancy rice, and you don't have to get the fancy noodles. You can just use spaghetti. And one of the things that you need to remember with spaghetti and with any kind of pasta is often when you take them out the packet, there's those little pieces at the bottom that are really, you can't make them into the dish, but keep them, because they're great to add to soups and stews as a thickener, or just as a starch to add in to eat. And if you have big eaters like me, you always need those. So that was one of the things. And then I just want to leave you with something that I learned this week. I remember I said I've been watching this Nadia Hussein, and she did the most amazing thing. I think she is a genius, and we should all try it. So what she did was she made obviously a chili paste. You can use bottles, you can use curry paste, you can use whatever paste you like as a base flavoring for your foods. So if you don't like it spicy, you'll find a different one. And she took these bottling jars, you know, your jam, your bottling jars, and she put the paste at the bottom. And then she took what she called instant noodles. But they probably take about 10 minutes to cook. So she put the noodles in after that. And then she put different vegetables in the one. And in the other one, she put chicken. And in a different one, she put she said jerky. So I'm assuming you could do the same with biltong. I'm not so sure. I'll try that. But she had mushrooms. She had all sorts of different flavors in each of these jars with a little bit of salt. And she put them in the fridge to keep. And she says when the children come home from school, or for her at work, all you do is add boiling water to it. You seal the lid and you sit and wait. And in 10 minutes, the food has cooked itself. Your noodles are nice and soft and you have a meal in a jar. Absolutely love that idea. And as soon as my budget challenge is over, I will be going out to buy some noodles that are quick cooking. So I would say things like angel hair pasta or Loksha noodles are great. I do know the Woolworths noodles, I'm trying to remember, the egg ones are quite quick to cook as well. So those would be perfect. And those are nice for round dishes or the round jars because they are in nests. So you just put one nest into your jar and you've got your meal. So I love that idea and I'm definitely going to be doing that sometime in the next 2 weeks. Just because, you know, the flavors and being able to just come home and pour some hot water over food after school for the kids who've returned back to school is going to be brilliant. And it's another nice thing also to send for the older children to school. My girls are at a school where there's a kettle available. So what they can do is they'll be able to take their food to school, pour the boiling water on, and they will be able to have a nice hot lunch at school because there's obviously no tuck shops and no sharing of food. And as spoiled as my children are, a lot of the kids in their school often get takeaways delivered, which have obviously been banned from school for the lockdown and safety and security of the children. So that's an amazing thing. I would love for you to email HiFM or to email me directly to hear about what ideas you would love to hear on food and to, you know, see where we should go next on our journey with food. What's the next challenge to face? Thank you everybody for listening to HiFM. I'm Adrian Bogarty and this was the Essen Fessen Show. Enjoy your journey. Stay warm, stay healthy. And remember to wear your masks when you go out. Thank you.